This is your friend John Walden from Colorado Springs. I'd like to have a little Bible study with you in the book of Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews is a long epistle, 13 chapters, and there's a great deal in it, so we'll have to just skim through it in the short amount of time we have at our disposal. Hebrews is one of three letters, epistles, in the New Testament emphasizing the gospel. Galatians emphasizes the cross of Christ. Romans emphasizes the resurrection. And Hebrews speaks a great deal about the Lord Jesus on the throne in the glory. In order to understand the book of Hebrews, you have to have some background of the Old Testament, because he often refers to the sacrifices and the priesthood and the temple and many of the things that would be familiar to people who are addressed as Hebrews. The word Hebrew means a crosser over and was a spiritual name for the children of Israel. However, if you're not familiar with the Old Testament, you can always look up these various references. If you have a Bible at the marginal reference column, be sure to look up the Old Testament passages and they'll help you to understand this. The book of Hebrews tells us that the new covenant, the new agreement of God in the blood of Christ, is superior to and supersedes the old covenant in animal blood. And he talks a great deal about the Old Testament sacrifices and calls them the blood of bulls and goats. And he says they could never take away sin. Therefore, a Jew in the Old Testament never had his sins taken away. He merely had them covered from year to year. You might say that his sacrifices sort of paid the interest, but never paid off the principal. He mentions in this book of Hebrews sacrifices all the way from Abel's sacrifice in the very beginning of the book of Genesis on down through the Passover itself, which was the great sacrificial feast day of the children of Israel. Abel's sacrifice was a lamb. The Passover sacrifice was a lamb. Abel offered a lamb for himself. The Passover is offered for a family. Later on, you find Samuel offering a lamb for the whole nation. And the Lord Jesus comes as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is the way he was introduced by John the Baptist. And of course, every Jew would understand what he meant. The New Testament emphasizes that the Lord Jesus Christ must die as a sacrifice. He said so himself. He said in the third chapter of John, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we're told here in the very first chapter of Hebrews, where he refers to the Lord Jesus and tells us seven wonderful things about him. He says of him, when he had by himself purged our sins, washed away, cleansed away our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now this phrase, sat down, occurs four times in the book of Hebrews, and it tells us that the sacrifice was completed. There's no such thing as offering a new sacrifice of Christ every morning. There's no such thing as a repetition of the sacrifice, because the Lord Jesus offered one sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself. His own life was given up for us. Now, the superiority of the blood of Christ over the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament is emphasized in the book of Hebrews. In fact, the word better, the better things, forms a sort of a refrain. It's a sort of a key to the book of Hebrews. And this is especially brought out in the ninth chapter in verse 28, where he tells us that we have a much better sacrifice than was ever offered in the Old Testament. And as I have said, one of the chief reasons why his sacrifice is said to be better is that there never needs to be any repetition of it. Now, if you'll read the 10th chapter of Hebrews, first part of it especially, you'll see that this is what he's bringing out. There were many sacrifices and offerings, but he said this was not what pleased the Father, but a body hast thou prepared me. That's in verse 5 of the 10th of Hebrews. And he said, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And then he tells us that when he came and offered himself, that he did it once for all. You have this in verse 10. By the which will, by the will of God, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest in the Old Testament, now when you read about priests in Hebrews, you must remember that they are the Jewish priests of the order of Aaron. Has nothing to do with the so-called priesthood in modern churches. Every priest, every son of Aaron in the Old Testament standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So the Lord Jesus did his work perfectly. You remember his last words to the world on the cross? He said with a loud voice, it is finished. And God said amen to that on the third day when he raised him up again from the dead. And the Lord Jesus is alive now. He's there in heaven for us. And that's why he says in the 17th verse of Hebrews 10, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Thank God they'll never be brought up again. But now in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, he goes on with this thought that I have just suggested, that his ability to bless and save and keep us is dependent upon his unchanging life for us. For he says, wherefore, verse 25, the 7th chapter, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That is, he can save them eternally. He can save them whatever their personality happens to be. He can save them completely, spirit, soul, and body. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus Christ, then, not only died for our sins, but he lives to be our daily Savior. And as such, he is called in the book of Hebrews our High Priest. Now, in the Old Testament, God appointed Aaron, and later on Aaron's son, and then his son's son, so on. He appointed these men to be a go-between, a mediator, between God and man. When the people wanted to come to God, they came to the priest, and the priest went to the high priest, and the high priest appeared before God for the people. And then when God wanted to send a message to the people, he sent that message through his high priest. Well, our Lord Jesus now is alive. He lives at the right hand of God for us. He is our high priest. He has done everything needed for us. He is the one who gives the word of God to us. He is the head of the church for all of us who believe in him. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmity, the 4th chapter says, the last part of the chapter. And the last part of chapter 2 tells us that he is both merciful and faithful. He is a high priest who cares about us. Now there's a difference between the high priest and the advocate. In 1 John chapter 2, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ is an advocate for our sins. That means that he, whenever we go to him as Christians, after we are saved, we sin against the Lord, we go to him, the Lord Jesus answers to the Father for us because he presents before the Father his own sacrifice. But now, as a high priest, he lives to keep us from sinning. Now, which is better? Is it better to have someone to whom you can go when you sin and be restored to God? Or is it better to be able to go to one who lives to help you and care for you and to keep you from sinning? Now, it's very wonderful to be able to go to the Lord when we see Him, and I hope you do that. I hope you go to Him in honest, sincere confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I hope that you meet with your high priest, the Lord Jesus, who understands you so perfectly. I hope you meet with Him every day. Don't try to meet the world. Don't try to go out and face life without having a little time with Him. A little time of prayer, a little time of hearing His word, a little time of getting something from Him that will help you through the day before you. Now, this is the work of the high priest. Now, the results of the gospel in the book of Hebrews are not only to save us to the uttermost and give us peace and fellowship with Him, but it makes pilgrims and strangers out of us. The book of Hebrews is a book that teaches us about our pilgrimage through the wilderness on our way home. And then it makes us priests and worshipers, because the Lord Jesus, being our high priest, is the leader of all His people. All Christians are constituted priests, and as such we ought to worship the Lord and often speak to Him. And this results in a walk of faith. This is what you have in the 11th chapter. A godly life, not under the coercion of the law, but because we love our Savior. Now, we love Him because He first loved us. Have you trusted Him? Will you trust Him? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee for eternal life. We thank Thee for a home in heaven. We thank Thee for a high priest who lives to intercede for us now. Help us to trust Him more and take our thanks in His name. Amen.